Grant, O Lord, that in your light we may see light clearly, and in your service find perfect freedom through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning. Please remain seated and join me in the prayer of confession. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, your face is hidden from us by our sins, and we forget your mercy in the blindness of our hearts. Cleanse us from all our offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires. With lowliness and meekness, may we draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength. Through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Listen to God's assurance of pardon. Listen to him, for through him, his Father says to all who come to him, as you have come to him, you are accepted. You are forgiven. I will set you free.
Let us pray. Eternal God, grant us the gift of your Spirit, that rightly reading and hearing your truth, we may be enlightened by it and live in you everlastingly through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Roman Church. It's chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. And as the sermon, I hope, will emphasize, I think these words are like a letter delivered to us, giving us marching orders into our own personal and corporate future. Listen then for the word of God. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned to him. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." No. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals upon their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It was one of those bright, sunlit autumn afternoons. Sally and I were leaving Cleveland after a time with Chris and Nasa and our grandchildren, and we were happily rejoicing on our way, cruising along, and as we approached Ravenna, heading south and sort of west, a voice broke into the silence, and it said, "In 200 feet, turn right." I didn't think that was right. As a matter of fact, I was pretty sure it was wrong, but the voice said, "Turn." That was the lady. I keep referring to her, the lady on the GPS, the lady that keeps telling me what to do. So what did I do? Well, being obedient, I turned. And then she said, "Turn right." And that seemed even wronger. I know that's not a word, but I threw it in anyways. It seemed pretty wrong. But I turned. You see, I guess those of us with German tendencies have a tendency to obey orders, so I turned. And we cruised down the street, and guess what? The street ended. I mean, there wasn't even an alley out of that street. I put on the brake, and we sat there. And Sally, of course, was being her usual tactful self. She didn't say a word initially. But I could tell she was thinking. And finally she said, "Jim, I think it's time we turned around." And I did. You know, it never occurred to me that I would be taking orders from a disembodied female voice echoing information coming from a satellite being funneled through the dashboard of my car. But the lady in my machine had brought me to an interesting point. You see, I thought I was driving along and I knew where I was going, and furthermore, I really believed that the lady on my machine was righter than I was. And here I am at this blind alley, and it was time to change and to turn around. Now, being a pastor of theological inclination, I immediately thought, of course, it's the old Hebrew word, the one I learned in my second year of seminary, shuv. Shuv means turn around. It's also the word that means repent. And that's where I got the title for my remarks today, Course Correction. You could tell that what had happened with my GPS had brought me to a point where I needed to turn around. I needed to change the course. I needed to have some idea of where to go. And how did I get in this mess in the first place with a GPS that knew where I was down to a yard? By now, you're probably wondering where I'm going with this, but let me tell you, in our Christian lives, we find ourselves sometimes in the same situation. Sometimes life appears to be like a highway straight away with almost no traffic, and off we go to Columbus or Cambridge or who knows where. And things come up. Things like COVID-19. Things like deaths in the family. Oh, and problems in the family. I hate to admit that sometimes in families, people don't always agree about anything. And the question is, how do we deal with that? And then I thought, all right. Being of an inventive mind, I'm going to invent a brand new GPS. But this time, it's not going to be a global positioning system. It's going to be God's positioning system. And that's where I come to today's scripture lesson in the 12th chapter of Romans. A few things to think about as we read these words from Paul. At the very outset, Paul raises the question about conformity. He says, don't be conformed to this world. Now, as I was getting ready to, as I was writing the sermon, preparing it, and I saw those words, don't be conformed to this world, I was thinking that is really hard. Because there are so many ways that we do have to be conformed. If I were to drive down Maple Avenue and decide that I don't have to pay attention to the stop signs or the stop lights, and I can drive in whatever lane I want to, I will not be conformed, but I will also be arrested. Conformity in some things is good, but what Paul is here arguing about, he says, don't let the world beat you into becoming someone you don't even recognize. Sometimes it happens at work, sometimes it happens other places. But Paul says, don't let the world shape you into someone you scarcely recognize. Not bad advice. And then he comes up with a really shaking idea. He said, on the one hand, don't be conformed, but be what? Transformed. So you move from not being conformed into being transformed and changed, presumably into somebody who is a whole lot better. Now that to me sounds good. Who wouldn't want to be better, smarter, more just, more kind? So our task is not to let the world beat us down, but to let the Holy Spirit of God renew our minds. And that's literally the meaning there. And why? So that we can discern the will of God. What is it that brings people here? Why is it that we sit in those pews? It is because in God's word and in these times together, we hear God calling us. We hear God lifting our lives, transforming us into someone that God cares about. Of course, God cares about everybody. But you know, when my kids do something that I really like, you know, I can hardly restrain myself from saying, good job, great job. Graduations, all that stuff. I think God's like that. I think God rejoices when we are not conformed to this world, but when we let the Spirit make us better and transform us into what God wants. Another thing we might think about from this passage is that we're not alone. And that's an important thing to think about. You know, as I look out over the pews this morning, I can remember times when those pews had a lot more people. Which is all right, but the important thing is that we're here. And the important thing that Paul says is no one of us is ever as complete as all of us together, which is why he puts us in congregations. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Contrary to anything I might have expected, I've wound up being in Zanesville the better part of 30 years. Where did all that time go? I have no idea. But you know, one of the good things about that is you get to see children grow up. You get to see folks that you've married have children and watch their children grow. You experience life and death and sorrow. And still in faith you keep on going. How do you do that? Paul says we do it with the grace of God. So we have many members, and we don't all have the same skills. Some for preaching, some for teaching, even in giving and being compassionate. But all of those gifts are shared in the congregation and help to make Christian life possible. Every once in a while I hear people say, you know, that the institutional church is practically dead, which makes all of us here kind of unique, doesn't it? Because we don't believe that. I believe that the institutional church, the church that we love and care about, is today more important than it ever was. We've seen this in the coronavirus. Those of us who are over 50, over 50, sure. Those of us who have moved along and now are senior citizens in our glorious golden years. Well, we've seen a lot of things happen. And as Tom Selleck observed in some of his televised ads, this ain't our first rodeo. At that point, Paul gets serious and he says, let love be genuine. And one of the joys of reading the biblical text in Greek is that Greek is so clever in what it says. And it doesn't, that translation doesn't quite do it. Let love be genuine. What it really says is let love not be hypocritical. When I saw that word, hypokrites, in Greek, I thought, uh-oh. You know, that's a tendency we all have. I think to be human is to be critical. To be human is to ask questions. Even to be faithful is to ask questions. It only becomes a problem when we aim our questions in the direction of other people. So Paul says, let love be genuine. Don't be hypocritical. Hate what is evil. Reading the newspaper can be dangerous to your faith. Sally and I occasionally get to feeling grungy. That's my own personal word, grungy. And we look at one another and we say, why are we feeling down? And the answer is we watch the news 24/7. And none of the news we hear is encouraging, is upbeat, is lifting. So Paul says, stop worrying about that. Care about each other. And at that point in the text, an interesting word appears, which is the name of a town not too far from here, and another town quite a ways. Both towns are called Philadelphia. Now think about that word. It comes from the Greek philein, which means to love or care about, and brothers, brotherly love. And that's the reason Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love. Now, actually, since it ends with an A, I'm wondering if it doesn't also mean the city of sisterly love. There is no form of the verb to love that doesn't appear in this passage. That's why Paul says that we're to live in harmony with one another. And it's this point that Paul stops preaching and starts meddling. Because he gives us some advice that we don't always find too helpful, and that at times I find a little hard to live with. He says, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. Never avenge yourself. And then he says, you know, you're to feed your enemy and give him drink and be nice to him. But then he adds to it, don't worry about it. Leave it up to God. If he's that bad, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Now, that particular line to me shows me that Paul is human. He wants to forgive everybody, but by golly, he refuses to forget, doesn't he? Nonetheless, we are to bless, rejoice, live in harmony, and not avenge ourselves. Now, friends, this is God's GPS, God's positioning program, and it all focuses on love. It calls us to change our course, to undergo a course correction that takes us from where we are to where it is that you and I want to be and need to be and can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, become. Thanks be to God for his gift of love and the Spirit, and for his divine positioning program that is not finished with us, friends. We are all works in progress. God is taking us from where we are to where we need to be. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Christ of me, upward way, my God.
Let us stand if you are able and profess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you, Minnie. That was beautiful. And Kathy? At this time, we offer and dedicate ourselves to God. Your steadfast love is but one of the many gifts you pour into us. Our offerings are but a part of the ways in which we can serve you and your people. Bless them and bless us to ministries of healing and hope. Amen.
To say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now may the grace of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be and abide with you this day and always. May his light shine upon you. May his grace sustain you. And may his presence accompany you on all the paths that you must travel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.